Father, we worship you.
We're so grateful for your mercy and your faithfulness to us and our nation, Nigeria, for the peace you have caused to rule over. Thy kingdom ruleth over all. Righteousness, peace, and joy, peace ruleth over all. We're grateful. We turn to you all the glory. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Spirit. Father, as we go into your word this afternoon, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Pray for fresh unction and anointing from heaven, so that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. I pray this, put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all that will hear me. Those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people. Do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further pray, Lord God, for mercy, to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time, and say only what you want to say. Let the power of your Spirit release in great measure to follow and back these words wherever they're heard in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. We ask for all of these mercies in Jesus' name. And all is in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agree with me individually and said, amen. That's the true meaning of amen. Amen means so be it. So when people pray, don't just say amen mechanically. Listen, and then when you listen, faith comes, because faith comes by hearing the word and hearing by the word of God. And then when you now say amen, you're in agreement with what has been said. And the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And then what you agree upon will come to pass. So everybody said,
amen.
Good. Praise the Lord. Well, this afternoon I have a very important message, simple but very, very important message. The Lord gave it to me some weeks ago and said I should share it with us. And I've entitled it Life and Medicine. Life and Medicine. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to start from verse 20. It's a very basic message, but one that we need to practice, particularly in this time in which we're living. We're living in perilous times, really perilous times. You know, all kinds of things are flying all over the whole place. I was watching an advert on television yesterday, and they were advertising soap, a new kind of soap. Well, isn't it new soap? Soap has been around ever since I was a kid, you know. And the lady there said, you know, why are people getting infections today? He said it's not because people are more exposed or anything like that. It's because most of the germs have become resistant. I want to say this to every Christian as I go into this message. Don't put your faith in medicine alone. It's very dangerous. Don't put your faith in doctors. I'm going to talk about doctors. It's a life and medicine. I believe in doctors. My doctors will tell you. You know, I believe in medicine. My daughter is a doctor. You know, Itunu is a doctor by the grace of God. You know, so I believe in learning. I believe in medicine. I believe in doctors. But you'll be making the biggest mistake of your life to put all your faith only in medical science. That is why so many people, when they are faced with some type of very serious health challenge, and there's a limit to what technology can do. There's a limit to what doctors can do. You know, the honest doctors, not all of them are honest, but thank God we have some honest ones around here, will tell you that ultimately there's a limit to what they know. When they're with you, they'll show as if they know everything, but they don't. The human body, I don't want to get off into biology and all of that,
is the one of the, it's not one, it is the most complex machine that exists in the universe. I have a book I read some time ago. It's called The Universe in You. Your whole, just you alone, your universe. You know, I was reading yesterday or somewhere, you know, where the reason why you see red and blue and purple and pink and all the colors is those colors are just frequencies. They're just frequencies. It is inside your brain that God put a special kind of pixel there that makes it see the yellow and makes see the blue. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. So the person you want to have faith in is the guy who made the design. Now, it's not wrong to use medicine. I'm going to talk about that. But it is wrong to put all your faith in it. You know why? It's limited. It is limited. And there are certain things it comes up short because they are men. Doctors are men. They only know so much. They only know so much. Most of what they tell you, oh, this does this, that, it's all statistics. They do 1,000 people, they find 800 were able to do something, and they'll say, oh, they'll come and they'll, but it's a lie. What has happened to the remaining 200? You know, when I say it's a lie, it's not a lie, but what I'm saying is they talk with such confidence, with an absoluteness, but it's not absolute. They don't know. They'll tell you, they'll give you this. They don't know what the side effect will be. But they'll say, well, in 90% of cases, you know, studies have shown that the side effect is blah, 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 blah. Therefore, and when something happens, everybody starts running around, you know, and they will now not want to take responsibility. Don't trust them. Trust God. Give the Lord a clap offering. Trust them to some degree. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to them, trust them, but ultimately the trust is in God. Amen. Now, my son, how many people are God's children here? Give me a wave offering if you're God's son. Amen. I didn't say you put your hand. Don't put your hand down yet. Give me a wave offering. If that person's hand is up next to you, say God is talking to you and I. So it's not just son, it's daughter too. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. I want to ask you a question. It's a rhetoric one, but it's very important. Why would God be repeating the same thing? Attend to my words. Incline. Is it not the same thing? It is, in a sense. You know, for those, you know, my wife did English, so she'll be able to tell us. He hasn't said anything different. It's just emphasis. In language, when they write things, they try and do emphasis. You know, a good writer would say the same thing in different ways to catch your attention. He's trying to say, this is very important. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Next verse. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Wait a minute. Let them, what them, my words, not depart from my eyes. What is the implication? It means that it can depart. You see, folks, God doesn't say things just to say them. He said, let them not. It means if you don't take it to what he's saying, his word will depart from your eyes. Now, your eyes here is not these two physical eyes. He's talking about your mind. He says he doesn't want his word to depart from your mind. Like Mommy was saying earlier today, you know, about saying God is faithful. God is faithful. You should so program things in your soul. Even when you are sleeping, God is faithful, should not depart from your eyes. So when you are faced with a challenge or a difficulty or a problem, you know, like the children of Israel, you come to a place where the water is bitter. Or you come to a place, you know, where there are giants in the land. Instead of seeing the giants, you remember God is faithful because it did not depart from your eyes. You have to, it's the same thing with healing. It must not depart from your eyes. Your mind should be ingrained and bombarded with the light of God's word concerning healing. Somebody needs this. I don't know who. I just got a text from heaven. You know who? All of us. God has a sense of humor. Yeah, I was yeah. He said, it's not just that person, all of you. You know why? You're living in perilous times. I've got good news and bad news. It's not bad news. But so take the good part of it. Don't take the wrong end of the stick. There are a lot of challenges up front. There are challenges. You've got to be strong. This is not a day where you have, you know, it says, if you thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know why? You're dependent on your own strength. God's strength can never be small. So if you're dependent on God's strength, your strength cannot be small. I don't know if I helped anybody. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. He's saying the same thing. Again, emphasis. Why? There is a reason why he's saying this. For, next verse. Verse 22. Keep thy... 22. Look at this person. The word of God is precision. For means because. The reason why I'm saying incline your ear, my ear, thy ear unto my sins, let them not depart from thy eyes, keep it, is because, for they are what? Life unto those that find them. Implication, some don't find it. That's why he's telling you. It means it can elude you. It means you may not find it. Like I was saying earlier this morning, many, many, many Christians know the letter of Scripture, but they don't know the spirit of Scripture. Many Christians can quote 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am healed. They can quote Isaiah 53. They can quote all the Scriptures. He sent his word and healed them. But that's the letter. Do you have the spirit? That is going to actually bring life and healing to your physical body. There's a big difference between the letter and the spirit. There's a big difference between head knowledge and revelation knowledge. Mental assent and revelation that brings experience are two completely different things. You can mentally agree with something and not have a spiritual revelation of it that will translate into reality in your experience. Hence this message. Even though I know you all know it. You know, you are very learned in Scripture, Pastor. You surpass all men in all knowledge, like the Corinthians. You excel in all trance and knowledge. You have no need that any man tell you anything. You are my children. I know you better than anybody else. Knowledge you poor. Praise the Lord. And it's a good thing, and I'm not discouraging that. But you know, we got to, you know, that's why the Lord said, go on. He said it's basic. He said they need it now. He said, because you see, all kinds of the medical guys will tell you mutations are taking place in the spirit and in medicine. If you know, doctors won't tell us the truth, but if they want to tell you the truth, even the doctors are worried in research now, because each year they are seeing new things that the antibiotics that they have developed can't deal with. Am I telling a lie?
Resistance
building. It's the truth. It's a big challenge. When they go for these conferences, you are not there. And then each person will be presenting their paper, and they'll be presenting, he saw this. This one will come from Nicaragua. He said, he saw this. This one will come from Brazil. He said, he saw this. They will say, well, what have you done? This one will say, well, I used this and this. He said, I got 44% result. This one will say, he said, well, it's a challenge. Well, let's tell the World Health Organization and all of this. Let's say, you know, and what they're pushing for now, and she's an expert in that, is called prevention. Because there are some things you don't even want it to enter. Because if it enters, to get it out is a completely different matter. I'm not talking to anybody here. But I want to give you the one that works 100%. That's the one I want to give you. The one that is there is no experiment, there is no percentage, is 100%. How many want that one? Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Hallelujah. Now sit down. For they, my words, are Zoe, life. I use the word Zoe deliberately because that's Greek. Although this is Hebrew, because this is Proverbs in the Old Testament, but the Greek equivalent is Zoe. He says, my words are life. Most Christians haven't grasped this. Oh, they know it mentally, but revelation and experiential is a completely different thing. You know, they are life. If you know God's word is life, nobody has to beg you to read it every day. Like mommy was sharing the other day, and I'm going to get there. You know, when I finished preaching the other day, when I was talking about, you know, forsaking sins of omission, and she's, you know, she shared from Deuteronomy, which is, I have set before you. You know, that's what God did in the Garden of Eden. He set before Adam the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Today, God has said the same thing before us. He has set before us life and death. Every day, before in front of you is life and death. Then he says, choose life. I'm going to get there in a minute. I'm going to get there in a minute. Go back to Proverbs. I'm going to call this one of the scriptures in my notes. I'm going to get there in a minute. But you see, I want you to understand something. If it could not elude you, he will not say, for they are life unto those that find them. And the consequence of it being life is that it is now health, medicine to some of their flesh. No, you know, this particular drug, it will work in this instance, but it cannot work in this instance. And you know, in this particular situation, there is a statistical study that has shown that there is a resistance. This one does not affect the word of God. With all apologies, Dr. Williams, all your wonderful research and everything, you know, that this one doesn't, this one works for everything. It works for the cancer of the liver. It works for the cancer of the pancreas. It works for the prostate. It works for the breast. It works for the leg. It works for the brain. It works for all. Everybody scream it. You know, can you put a value on what God has given us? May God help us to appreciate what we have. Step number two, and take advantage of it. It is medicine to all our flesh, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, external and internal. All the internal organs, liver, pancreas, you know, heart, blood vessels, everything. Thank you, darling. I was going there. And the DNA, right down to the subatomic and molecular level. You're dealing with a God who knows what he's doing because he made everything. You're not dealing with a God who is an illiterate. You know, one of the things that disturbs our faith, we don't know, is subconscious. Why would we think of Jesus as a carpenter? Nobody will say it, but if you listen to, you shouldn't listen to them, you know, skeptics and agnostics and people like that. So, you know, the Bible was written 2,000 years ago by men who didn't really know much, you know. That's why you can't rely on it today and all of it. You're making the biggest mistake of your life. Oh, he was a carpenter when he was here, but he's God Almighty. He's the Word that was in the beginning. He's the creator of everything. He understands everything. If he says it is medicine to all your flesh, it is medicine to all your flesh. He's greater than any doctor. Thank God for it. He's doctor number one. He's the great physician. Hallelujah. He's the great healer. He's the great engineer. He's the great physicist. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering. I think one of our problems is that we don't respect God enough. It's true. We don't respect, because, thank you, Prof, because we don't know him. We don't respect God enough. We don't respect him enough. We don't sit down to think about how great he really is. You know, David, one of the reasons why David had such strong faith is that he looked at himself. And David did not know the biology. He didn't know as much as we know today. You know, but what he saw was enough. You know what he said? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It is the truth, though. It is not flattery. It is not cajoling God. It is the truth. This body is... I'm doing some studying now on neural networks, you know, which is using trying to find a computer program that can copy the brain. It can never, you know, but you know, they are trying, you know. So you put something to the computer, it lands like a brain and all of that. You know, even the top guys will tell you this brain is like porridge. How many people know what porridge is? Ogi. Pap. Okay. It's soft. It works only on very little energy. Like the energy for a 20-watt bulb. But the amount of circuitry and complication that is inside this brain, no computer on earth does not even come close to what God has put there. No wonder why they say, I am fearfully. You know, you see what God will package in one small, just this small brain here. If you want to build a computer that even begins to try to simulate this brain, you will have to fill, with the present technology, you will have to fill racks of computer something in a church like this. Then fill it the whole of Bodija. Then power it, you know, from Kainji Dam. And all the calculations it will do will still not be near the human brain. Give the Lord a clap offering. I don't know about you, but me, I fear God. The word fear means reverence. You know, when you see the work of his hands, you say, ah. Then you step back. It is that kind of reverence that will give you true faith. So when you are now faced with a problem, and you remember who he is, I remember what he has done. Say, this one, you are bread for me. Now, go back to Proverbs. See, for their life, see, the life of God is the substance inside God that makes God God. That's like a tautology, but it's the best way I can describe it. It's not just living in heaven forever. It is the very thing the Bible calls a living water. And I use a natural analogy. I've used this to teach over the years. Just like blood flows inside the human body, the fluid or the liquid, the spiritual fluid or liquid that flows inside God is this life of God. It is the thing that God uses to create everything. So what God has done in his, that the way Paul described it, he said, let us thank God for his unspeakable gift. I can't find words to describe how generous God is to give us himself. Instead of giving you this and giving you that, he said, take a part of me, I put it inside you, and it's that thing that is inside you can do everything I can do. So I've made you a God like me. Only one amen. It means you didn't understand what I said. You didn't understand. God has made us partakers of the divine nature, thereby making us divine. If you are a partaker of a divine nature, are you not divine? God's. Now, watch this. That Zoe, that life of God, is what you get when you put the word of God into your heart and in your mind. Now, when it enters into your physical body, it, for the purpose of the physical body, it is converted to medicine. He says, for their life unto those that find them and medicine. You see, it's the life of God is creative.
It can create anything. It can create an aeroplane. It can create. But this time, what he wants to create is medicine. So the medicine you need, whether it's antibiotic, whether it is you know, whatever kind of pharmaceutical combination that you need to deal with a particular thing, the life of God will, it will construct it. By the master physician himself. And it will enter into your physical body. And it will bring healing and health. So that's why it says, they are life unto those that find them. And what? Medicine. Now, the problem is, the Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. The problem is, most Christians do not apply that life in this regard diligently on a consistent basis. And therefore, even though it is there in their spirit, it does not translate into the body and do its work as medicine. Hence this message. God said, I should tell you that you are going to live very long. Not only are you going to live long, you are going to live well. They are not going to be carrying you from one hospital to the other. I didn't know if I heard anybody here. They're not going to be carrying you. You know, when you are 80, 90 years old, they won't need to be carrying. You will be going around by yourself. Your eye will not be dim. And your natural strength will not be abated. Hallelujah. That's why he said, go and teach them this now. It's medicine to all your flesh. You're going to need it in this end time. Some of you will be 80 years old when you're in the mission field. And you'll be as strong and you'll be as healthy as a 40-year-old. Remember, there's a guy called Caleb. Remember, I heard of him. Caleb was 45 years old when they got to Kadesh Barnea. And Moses is going to spy the land. They went, you know the story. The 12 guys, sorry, 10 came back with an evil report. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came up with a good report. You know, and said, let us go. I like Caleb. I like his spirit. Let us go up at once. He said, their defense is departed from them. How did he see? Saw it all by faith. He said, and we will possess the land. They have bread for us. You know, but the other people didn't agree. And everybody started crying. And God got very angry. God almost finished all of them. But Moses was able to intercede and all of that. So fast forward 40 years later. The same Caleb. He's 85 years old. The same Caleb. He's 85 years old. They have entered the land. And they started taking land. So he gets to what's known as Hebron. This is this thing of his inheritance. So he goes. I like that guy. Therefore now, I like it. Ah, you got it for me. He said, give me, you whereof, let's read it. He said, now therefore, give me this mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest, in that day, how that the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fierce. If so be, Koselemengrada, the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out. You're going to drive out every sickness from your body. Next verse. No. Move. I think you should move up. Where he said, I am strong to go out to war. I'm as strong as I was when I was 40 years old. It's somewhere in there. You know. If you maybe verse 10 or something. Yes. Look, I was there. Yet I am as strong. How many want that? In 40 years' time, you'll be as strong as you are. As I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. That is your inheritance. God said, I should come and encourage you. And I should come and tell you. Why? Of course, we all know about healing and all of that. But you see, you're going to need strength for the days ahead. We're talking about glory, glory, glory. It's not just mouth.
When it comes now, you won't be able to sit down for 2 weeks. In and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. You'll be going all over the whole place. The glory is not meant for show off. It's for service. You go, you travel, you come back. Next week again, you go again. 2 weeks time, you go again. A month, you go again. A person who is not healthy can't do that. You break down. And you're not going to a 5-star hotel. Thank you, darling. You know? You're not going to, I'll read in a minute. You're not going to a 5-star hotel. You're going to be in the wilderness somewhere. Some on some remote mountain, in some place, you've got to be strong. You've got to be strong. This is the reason for health and medicine. To give us strong bodies to do the will of God. Look at what Caleb said. And now behold, the Lord had kept me alive. Go to your neighbor and say, God will keep you alive. God will keep us alive. I didn't hear you. You know, there's so much flying around today. I just saw a text now. One Ethiopian airline just crashed. Just a few minutes ago. All the people dead. 737 crashed. About 100 and something people. Pew. You know, they just had a strike in Addis Ababa, where all the airport workers were on strike. Only God knows if it was a sabotage. Only God knows. And it's a one that people use all the time. Most people use Ethiopian Airlines, you know, because it's cheaper. Only God knows. 33 nationalities dead. You will not be afraid of evil tidings. I say your heart is fixed. 1,000 will fall at your right hand. You know, and 10,000 at your left. But it will not. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. You need this kind of message. You need it now. You are going to live. Amen. You will not die, Pastor Boyega. Mommy, you will live. You will not die. Prof, you will live. You will not die. Prof, you will live. You will not die. All the others, you will live and you will not die. By measure, we're going to go to time. Receive it. Praise the Lord. Amen. He said, and he has kept me alive. I said, he will keep you. It takes God to keep you alive. Don't forget that of all that came out of Egypt, who were 20 years old and under, only 2 survived. Don't ever forget. That's why he said what he said. All the others were dead. 40 years later, they were all there. All the people, they all came out of Egypt together. All their friends, their relatives who were 20 years old and above, not one of them survived. Only Joshua and Caleb. Because they did not allow the Lord to depart. They attended to his words. They inclined their ear unto his sayings. They kept them before their eyes. They kept them in the midst of their heart. So that word was life unto them and medicine to all their flesh. But it was not so for those who perished. He had kept me alive. I didn't hear you. How many want to be kept alive here? I said, he had kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day. This is scripture, go and meditate on it. 84 years or 85 years old. It says, I am strong to go in and to come out. To say, now give me this mountain. The Bible says he had a different spirit, a different attitude, a different mindset. You need to have a mindset of health. You don't be like the unbeliever who accepts everything that knocks on his door. mo ji laro yi bo mo de mo bo se nse mi o. Have you heard that before? In our language, that means, oh, I woke up this morning, I really don't know what's wrong with me. It's as if, anyway, God is good, sha. He's already signed for the package. Reject it immediately. I said, reject it immediately. Even when you feel it, say, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. Hallelujah. 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 I am not you. This body does not belong to sickness. Now, the way you came, go. The Bible says, and the leprosy left him. So leprosy can hear. Thank you, Ruda. The leprosy can hear. That thing that is there, you understand? He can hear. He can hear that you said, but he will say, Malo! In our language, that reason, he will say, go! He will hear that one too. He will hear whatever you say. Don't accept it too. You get up in the morning. My heart is palpitating. Heart! Beat properly! In Jesus' name. Of course, you need to go and see doctor. Go and see doctor. But what I'm trying to say is that don't the warrior mindset is very important. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Have a militant mindset. Resist koshelem and gradafra. Resist sickness the same way you resist sin. If a thought of adultery, God forbid, comes to your mind, how do you resist? You say, get thee behind me, Satan. If there's something called, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, we don't resist sickness the same way we resist sin. See it as dangerous as any terrible mortal moral sin. It's as much a foreigner as a moral sin. May God help us. For they are life unto those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh. Let me just say a little bit more about this. I've said this many times when I pray at the end of the service, but I'm going to say, doctors will tell you now, this is scientific fact, that practically all sicknesses, you know, today have a genetic origin. What that means is that the sickness now is not treated only, you know, from a purely clinical point of view. This is actually true in cutting edge research in cancer. You know, Itunu did some work with a very good friend, Professor Fumi Olopade in Chicago, you know, and even cancers now, they find out the particular DNA. So the kind of treatment you would do for Miss X would be different from Miss Y, because their genetic profiles are different. So you first of all find out what the genetic profile of that thing is, and then you look for the particular sequence of treatment that will fit that particular genetic profile. So instead of a one general treatment for everybody, it is now genetically engineered. Now, the reason why I said that is this. Interestingly, the reason why I said that is this. Why the difference between one and the other? Very simple answer. Devil. 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 All that were oppressed of the devil. All sickness is satanic oppression. How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. So sickness is not good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So all sickness is satanic oppression. What he does is this. I've said it many, many times, but it bears repetition particularly for this message. He goes down at the molecular subatomic level. And he tries to tweak. Those who are into genetics, like Prof here, you know, brain research and all that, they will tell you this. The chemicals that make the genes is like a computer program of ones and it's a sequence. You understand? If you just change one element, the whole sequence changes. And then he starts doing something that is totally bizarre, that is totally strange from what it was programmed to do. So what Lucifer does, and the principalities and powers, is that they beam spiritual power. And it's just like a laser beam or like an X-ray, because it's spiritual, you see. So it goes down into our system, right inside into the cell, and there, and it tries to shift some of those things. It shifts two or three or four, you know, electrons or chemical bonds, and just by that slight shift, he changes the entire DNA structure and causes a corruption of the program. Then you go to the doctor 6 months later. Sir, come and do a test. We are seeing something that. Where did it come from? The devil. But I got good news. The problem is that we let him walk too long before we start doing something about it. So what you need to do is that the same diligence with which Satan tries to work on the inside, you must work on the inside too. So every day you need to say with your mouth. I do it every day. I do it for myself, I do it for my wife and children. You know, say it every day. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Then pray in tongues a little bit. Why tongues? Because you don't know the detail. Only the Holy Spirit knows the particular thing that the guy has tried to shift. See, if every day he shifts something and I shift it back, it will never grow. He shifts and I shift. He shifts and I shift. He shifts and I shift. If I get to the place where if I pray very well and I, you know, bind the devil and, you know, use the power of God, he comes to try and shift. He can't even enter to shift. And I keep praying to make sure that everything on the inside is working properly. And even the ones that have not been working properly, I keep restoring them. You know what's going to get? You know what's going to happen? This is going to happen. I'm going to get stronger and stronger. I'm going to get healthier and healthier. I don't know if I made sense to anybody. This fight is a spiritual fight at the subatomic level. Stop fooling yourselves. Is a battle at the subatomic level. Keep speaking God's word. You're releasing a spiritual force. You're not just like Jesus said, it's not vain repetition. It's not just, you know, we're not like these other people just, There's power, exactly. There's power. That power has come from your mouth, but it doesn't stop in your mouth. It goes down. Because the spiritual force, it goes right down into your cells, into your DNA, and that work begins. And there are angels that are that size. God has angels from the microscopic right on to the astronomical. They call them nanobots in computer technology now. But really, God has them. They're working all the time. What are your white blood cells? I read that attack disease. How do they know that thing is foreign? God put it there. And if you pray, you get all those things working 100% efficiency. Anything that comes to your body immediately is dealt with. Don't wait until you have a sickness before you take healing seriously. Most Christians don't meditate on healing scriptures. They don't talk healing, they don't talk health until when they have a problem. And by that time, the guy has already worked for 6 years. Then you're not trying to solve a 6-year problem with a 2-week remedy. Daily. For they are life. They are life. And medicine to all their flesh. So I'm not going to cast elementos. Mommy, listen to this. I am not going to wait until I am sick before I take God's medicine.
I'm going to take God's medicine while I am well. So I'm going to use God's medicine as preventive, not curative. Prevention is better than cure. I'm not going to wait. Many times, God forbid, if you get sick, you're even too weak to pray. Good morning, Jesus, and good evening, Jesus. But seriously, yes, don't wait. God forbid. You know, somebody has it's a challenge. Then they start praying. Then they start using healing scriptures. Then they start to, we should have been doing that. We wait until when we really have a challenge. No. If you can receive it, receive it. You're having challenges right now on the inside. You don't know. It just haven't shown up. Don't wait. That's why you should take the medicine daily. Morning, afternoon, and evening. For they are life. They are life unto those that find them. And that life now translates to medicine to all their flesh. It will work on the eyes, it will work on the brain, it will work on the nose, it will work on the blood cells, it will work on the internal organs. I keep feeding life into the system. I know what I'm doing. I'm not just being religious. Another tweet. If you can receive it, receive it. If you can't receive it, it's still true. But it is, you know, I have to tell you, you are the most dangerous thing on the earth today. You who have this knowledge of God's word, faith, manifestation of the sons of God, you are the most dangerous thing on the earth to Lucifer and his agents. And you are a prime target. He will leave 10,000 of unbelievers just to get to you. Don't be afraid. I know, you know, people don't, I have to tell you the truth, you know, and you don't worry, you know, I'll tell you, I'm giving you the answer at the same time. You know, that's the truth. You who, he says, affliction arises for the word's sake. We're not many, oh. As of now, only God knows how many we are. You know, maybe 500, I don't know. And it will be his joy to get rid of us. And press a reset button for another 500 years. It has happened before in history. That's why I'm giving this message. God says it's a basic message. He said, they know it's a book. Go and tell them. Take your health and your healing very seriously. Give no place to the devil. Don't think of it only in terms of giving place to the devil, you know, in quarreling with people and all that. Don't give place to the devil about your health. Neither give place to the devil. Speak God's word daily. Pray in tongues. All this thing I've been teaching you. Once every 6 hours and everywhere. It's not religion. Incline an ear. Attend to my words. Keep them in the before your eyes. Keep them in the middle. For they are life unto those that find them by doing these instructions. That's revelation knowledge. And consequently, you see, once there is life in the body, it will be medicine to the flesh. Because that's what life does. It gives life. Sickness is incipient death. Is death in its early stages. So once you get life, it will attack sickness and you'll get rid of it. I don't know if I've talked to anybody here. Am I helping you? Don't play with this stuff. So now you are strong and healthy. You don't have any challenge. You've gone to your medical checkup. Everything is fine. Pray, speak God's word as if you had a challenge. Now you don't have. You know what you want to do now? You want to put up the walls and the shields of faith around your entire system,
your heart, your body, your mirror, your internal organs, so that he can't even find a way in the force field of life. Are you listening to me? Don't wait until there's an issue. Do it now. There will be no issue in Jesus' name. But do it now. Every day, make sure that word does not depart out of your mouth. He says, attend to my words. I didn't say it. He said it. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Attend. That's your own personal Bible reading. Incline your ear. That's listening to prophetic message like this. You know, let them not depart from thine eyes. Once every 6 hours, keeping them in your something. Therefore, keep them in the midst of your heart. Fill the heart with the life of God. All this life scripture, all of those instructions. Look at the sequence. Attend to my words. Bible reading. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Listening to the word. Notice they're not exactly the same. Amen. Let them not depart from thy eyes. You keep them before your eyes, your mind. Once every 6 hours. Then keep them in the midst of the heart. You fill your heart with the life of God. Do it! Then is life unto those that find them. In other words, then it's not something that's just sitting on the table. You have to look for it and get it. Unto those that find them. And they're medicine to all their flesh. I don't know if I've helped anybody here. Oh, you will live, you will not die. God said he's going to keep you alive. I said he's going to keep you alive. I'm not going to lose any of you. I'm not interested in that. I want all of you to live. And you will see your children. And you will see your children's children. And all of you will go together in the rapture. That will be a great day. Imagine the day when you go up. Not only you will go up, your children go up, your grandchildren, all of you together. Boom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Right in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be a good way to end this dispensation. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Only Pastor Quigga. I said, wouldn't it? May God give us faith. May God help us to believe. Okay. I'm going to close in a minute. Okay. Now, I've said this already, but I'm going to say it, you know, use scripture to say it. Look at Psalm 91, verse 16. God wants us to live long. He wants us to live long. Notice that Psalm 91 was not written to a particular person. Of course, David wrote it, but it's general. It's open to everybody. Psalm 91, verse 16. There's a lot in it, but, you know, look, verses 15 and 16. Just 15 and 16, you know. I think this is the last one. He said, he shall call upon me. I didn't hear you. And I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. God didn't say you won't have trouble. He said, but he will be with you inside it. Hello, somebody. And I will what? Deliver him, and I will what? Go to verse 14. Go up. I'm going to come to verse 16 in a minute. Go up to verse 14. Aha! This is the condition. Because he has set his love upon me. How many people have set their love upon God here? It's not with mouth. He says, he that loveth me keepeth my commandments. Doesn't mean you have to be perfect, but it just means you have to be practicing. Determination and practice. Determination and practice. You keep the commandment. Commandment of life. The commandment of love. You keep it. You keep it. I've set before you life and death. This is the great commandment. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one God. You keep it. 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 By the grace and the mercy of God. Because he has set his love upon me. I didn't hear you. Therefore, will I what? Deliver him, and I will what? Set him on high, because he has known my character. See what God puts as priority. Love, character. Now let's jump to verse 16. We've looked at verses 15, so let's jump. With long life, will I satisfy God? I want to ask a very simple question this afternoon. How many people are satisfied with their life? I want to go tomorrow. remember the devil telling me this when I was a young Christian. You know, say, ah, you know, it's God. God said, who is the subject of that verse? I was in Imperial College. I still remember my room. He said, I'm not the subject, you are. He said, with long life will I satisfy him. Then he asked me, he said, are you satisfied? I said, no. He said, keep on living. And I'm still living now. Not for want of trying. Within the first few months, I came back to Nigeria, all hell broke loose. It was as if I was going to die any minute. Car accident, my car was smashed, you know, all kinds of things. Within the first 2-3 years, when I came back to Nigeria, I'm talking about 1980, 81, and 82, I would never have met my wife. I would have died, you know. So, you know, I've got an accident on the expressway. I had another one where the tire of the car just screamed off. You know, that's where I learned so many things. I learned to bind the devil. The bind devil is not just, it's not religion. You know, when I did any serious praying, I always discovered there was always a counterattack. So I learned that after I pray, I have to bind. And the counterattacks stopped. They didn't stop. They were stopped. Do you get it? It wasn't as if they stopped. They were still happening. It's just that something was put there that acted, you know, to stop them from being effective. That's how I learned so many things I learned. Keep living. And what will bring the satisfaction? There's only one thing that should satisfy us. He said, when I see you in my likeness. If I am not like Jesus, I'm not satisfied. He said, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. It is when I see myself as he is, so are we in this world, that we may have boldness in the day. Then I'll be satisfied. Without that, I'm not satisfied. Until I walk on water. Until I turn water to wine. Until I raise the dead after 4 days. Until I have incredible photographic memory. Incredible language learning ability. Artistic ability. Musical ability. Mathematical. All in one brain. I will not be satisfied. I don't know about you. What is going to satisfy you? Is it a car? Of course. Can you see how low we've come? Is it a house? Is it a new suit of clothes? Is it even a private jet? That's not my satisfaction. My satisfaction is Christ in me, the hope of glory. And until I see that, I will not die. I will live, but the mercy and the grace of God which is with me, I will live, I will not die. I don't know if you're getting it. God wants to put a militant attitude. That's the reason for this message. He wants to tolerate sickness. We don't tolerate sin. Especially, you know, terrible sins like adultery and all that. We don't tolerate it. You know, somebody comes and gives you, you know, whiskey now. You won't take it. I'm a Christian. I can't take that kind of thing. But why will you take sickness? The sickness is even worse than the whiskey. Hello? The sickness is worse than this whiskey. If I will not tolerate cigarettes, and I will not tolerate Indian hemp, and I will not tolerate whiskey, and I will not tolerate... Why should I tolerate sickness? I don't know if I'm getting across. The same way I resist drugs, and I resist, you know, alcohol, and I resist all of this, it's the same way I should resist sickness. Where about you in my body? How dare you leave?
Amen.
I take medicine when I have to. But do you know what? I tell you a secret today. I'm sure I've said it here before. To the glory of God. You know, as I'm taking the medicine, I'm praying. I've learned that. I'm still learning it. I take the medicine, but I pray. And usually I pray first, then I take the medicine. Because I realize that the medicine is just a chemical. It just goes inside, it breaks one bond here and causes one chemical reaction or biochemical reaction and does something inside the metabolism, and it's all physical. Amen. If the silly spirit comes and tries to block that chemical reaction, that medicine will not work. So even when I take the medicine, I have to take God's word, the original medicine, you know, and release the spiritual force so that even the medicine can do the work it's supposed to do. I don't know if I got any cross anymore. Ah, you will live or you will not die. I didn't hear you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 30. This beautiful scripture. Mommy shared it with us last 2 weeks ago. Last week. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'm just going to look at verses, I think 18 to 20, somewhere in there. Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is Moses, where Moses is taking children to do, you know. Look at verse 19. Let's leave this one alone. With all I've said now, you don't need verse 18 anymore. Say, I call. See, this message Olubi Johnson is giving to you now, by the grace and the mercy of God, I'm doing the same thing like Moses did. You are going to live. You will not die. And I'm calling heaven and earth to record this day for you. I won't say against you. Take what I'm saying seriously. Take it seriously. Be militant. The same way you will resist sin, the same way you should resist sickness. Stop tolerating it. You know, we tolerate it. Don't tolerate it. Most importantly, be militant when you are well. Don't wait until you get an evil report. You will not get an evil report in Jesus' name. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Now, doesn't God know that life is better than death? Why is he telling you? Of course, because that's what he's trying to say, that this is my will for you. Choose life, that both you and your seed, your choices will affect your children and they will affect your grandchildren. Choose life. Choose life, that not only you will live, your children will live, and your children's children will live. It's going to be well with you. Verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. Notice that that's the first commandment. That thou mayest obey his voice. I didn't hear you. Is it only me who is reading the Bible this afternoon? Let's start again from the beginning. That thou, everybody open your mouth. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. That thou mayest obey his voice. That thou mayest cleave unto him. Stop. What does cleave mean? What's cleave? Remember Adam and Eve? And for this purpose shall a man leave his father and cleave unto his wife. He speaks of intimacy, intercourse, and that kind of thing. He's saying, do the same thing with God. Be so close, you cleave, you hold God like this every day. You wake up in the morning, it's God. Later in the morning, it's God. In the afternoon, it's God. In the evening, it's God. At night, before you sleep, it's God. Cleave! 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 Cleave unto God! But there's a reason. For he who, God, is thy life. Watch this. And the length. In other words, if you cleave to God, you will live long. This man wants to help us. If he doesn't want to help us, why will he be giving us all this information? The man loves us. He wants to help us. The length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell. I didn't hear you. In the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them, so that you will enter this perfection and fullness of Christ. Then you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. The rest of your life will just be igbadu. Now that doesn't mean you won't be serving God, you'll be serving God, but because you'll be serving God with the Spirit without measure, the thing will be, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. You'll be going from place to place, from country to country, you know, you blessing people. You in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. What a heritage. I got to close. I don't know if I've helped anybody. I don't know if I've helped anybody. Now, Jesus, thank you. Proverbs chapter 4, back. And now we go look to verses 23 to 27. The conditions, the things that need to be done. I don't like that word done. Let me use this word practiced. Yes, the things that you need to practice so that you will enjoy these blessings. The better, they say practice makes perfect. The more you practice them, the better you get at it. That's what I was sharing the other day. Say, he that diligently seeketh good. Now, God knows initially you won't be diligent. But once you begin to seek, they begin to give you mercy and grace. Then you get more and more and more diligent. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep a close watch on your heart. He's talking about your attitudes, humility, honesty. Keep a close watch on it. You should do a daily stock taking. We do it at communion, but you don't wait until you have communion in church. Daily. You find it's one of our prayers that I judge myself. Sins of omission and commission, I set my will. These are things you should do daily. For out of it, your heart, your will, is like a trap door. It can block or it can open the flow of the life of God. Next verse, verse 24. Am I helping anybody? Put away from thee a froward mouth and what? Perverse lips. Watch this thing. Negative words, abusive words, words of strife, words of pride. Make sure it doesn't come out of your mouth. Put away from you a wayward mouth. One translation says, perverse lips. Perversion is not just, you know, sexual perversion. That is part of it. But, you know, anything that is contrary to the word of God is perverse. If God doesn't say, don't say it. If God doesn't say, don't say it. And there's a word they use a lot in the world. I don't use it. God taught me many years ago, and I preached it here. You know, of course, it's not a sin. It's just that it just betrays a depth of understanding that's not there. It's the word fantastic. The word fantastic means it's fantasy. It means it's unreal. I prefer the word wonderful. So whenever I say that thing is wonderful, you know, little things like that, you know, perverse lips. Don't speak things that are negative, that are contrary to God's word. And how will you know something is perverse? If you don't know God's word, you won't know it's perverse. See, many of us talk like the world. We hear something on a movie, or we hear something that somebody in our department said, or somebody in our office said, and we just repeat the same thing. Don't! Next verse. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyes look straight before thee. Verse 26. Ponder the path of thy... Just think about what you're doing. Don't just do things. Let all thy ways be what? Established. Verse 27. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Guide yourself in the way of God, by the Spirit of God. Verse 28. I think that's it. So these are the things, as we keep the word of God in our heart, in our mouth, in our heart, the Holy Spirit will make it life to us, medicine to our flesh, and He'll keep us in the way. And we'll avoid all these pitfalls, because the days that are ahead are going to be challenging days, but you're going to prevail. For the word is going to be medicine to your flesh. You will live, you will not die. You will live and you will declare the glory of God in the land of the living. In Jesus' name. Let's talk to God. Stand to your feet. For they are life, find them, and medicine to all their flesh. You have to find God's word. And it takes some effort by the mercy and the grace of God to do it. Attending to his words, inclining your ear unto his sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Then you will find it. Then it will be medicine to all your flesh. Let's sing this song, El Shaddai. El Shaddai,
El Shaddai, El Elyon, El Adonai, age to age, you're still the same.
By the power,
by the power of your name,
El Shaddai,
El Shaddai, El Shaddai,
Etrakana,
Etrakana.
Adonai.
We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
You set your children free.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Yon, El Adonai.
Age to age,
age to age,
you're still the same.
By the power,
by the power of your name,
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai.
We now praise.
We now praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
Through the years, you made it clear that the time of Christ was near. Though the people couldn't see what Messiah ought to be, though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand that your awesome work was done through the frailty of your Son.
Hallelujah.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Yon Adonai, age to age,
you're still
the same,
by the power of your name.
El Shaddai,
El Shaddai, Adonai, we now praise and lift you high, El Shaddai,
El Shaddai,
El Shaddai,
El Shaddai.
Still the same,
by the power,
by the power of
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai. One hand on your heart, raise your other hand to God. God's covenant name is El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. He is more than enough. He is more than enough. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what that challenge is. In particular, I don't care what that sickness or that disease is. He is El Shaddai. And He's here to heal you. If you're watching on television or on YouTube, just stretch your hands towards the screen. We're going to release the power of El Shaddai. And it's going to go into your body. It's going to effect a healing and a cure. It's going to effect a healing and a cure. It's going to effect a healing and a cure. In the name of Jesus. And after that, stay in the Word. Keep that medicine of the Word flowing in your body from now until Jesus comes. Take that medicine every day. It's free. It has no side effects. Take it the same way you take natural medicine. Don't wait until you're sick. God allows us to use medicine like He healed Hezekiah. But that does not mean we should wait until, we should depend only on medicine. Take the Word of God when you are well. Every day, as if you are sick. You're not sick, but you're going to be taking it every day as medicine. Do it deliberately, daily. Raise that hand. You will live, you will not die. I keep hearing that in my spirit. I know we all need it, but maybe there's some specific. You are going to live. Don't be afraid. Some people are afraid. I say you're going to live. Because you're going to let His Word be medicine to your flesh. Just do these things. They're not, He said, the Word is not hard. It's not in heaven. It's not under the earth. He said, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. I'm not asking you to do some terrible. The devil and his people will ask you to go and take calabash and walk in the forest. God is not asking you to do that. Just put the Word in your mouth and in your heart. Raise that hand. Say, Father. And so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Word that has reminded me today that that Word is life unto me and medicine. 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 Medicine to all my flesh from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I understand that it is your will that I live in good health and live long to fulfill my destiny, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. From today, by your mercy and by your grace, I covenant to take this medicine, divine medicine of your life daily as medicine to all my flesh. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for sending Jesus, who took my sicknesses and bore my sins on the cross, so that I could be free from sickness and disease. My God, I am grateful. My God, I appreciate you. I receive this great provision that you have given me. I don't treat it lightly. I take it in the name of Jesus as a part of my covenant right. I release now as I speak life, life, life into my body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my liver, my kidneys, all my internal organs, my blood vessels, into the DNA of every cell in my body. I say, you will live! You live! You live! You live! You will not die. Every dying cell, you will live. every corrupted DNA, I say, be corrected in the name of Jesus. I am healed. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection, life and power. With long life. With long life. With long life. Will God satisfy and show me his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Zelika to fresh. Lombraka kamatolo. Lombraka shala. Zifridis. Lombraka kamatolo. Lo predicos. Afridia. Lo predica. Lombrodolo mashala. Lo predicromo. Lombromatolo matolo matu do fu fishi. Zifri. Lombrodolo kamatolo. Dolo mashtu fresh. Zefri. Lombredeka. Dolo matolo 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 matu do fishi. Lombraka kamatolo matu fredu fishi. In Jesus' name. Join hands with someone. You can get the recording of this message. It's on the... They will send it out. In fact, like they normally do. You know, listen to it over and over again. Over and over and over and over again. Like mommy was saying today, put it into your spirit. You wake up in the middle of the night, God is faithful. I am healed. I live in health.
Sarah. Prophets, we're sharing before this. And it's just occurred to me again, I want to say, when he mentioned my name. Sarah. The Bible says she received faith. She had faith to receive strength to conceive. Why? Because she judged God. Look at Hebrews 11. Because she judged God faithful. 11:11, I think. Let's just quickly read it. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Stop there. This is seed for baby. Now we're talking about seed of good health. We're talking about seed of life. So through faith, like Sarah, let us receive strength to conceive seed of life in the name of Jesus. And like she was delivered of a child when she was past the age, her whole body was dead, gone. It was completely impossible. But she received strength. Because what? She judged him faithful. Brethren, God is faithful. I don't know how to tell you this, but something in the inside of me makes me say it again and again. We need to engrave. We need to have it written in our hearts, the faithfulness of God. This was what brought it about. She judged God faithful. And when she was past age, she was able to receive and conceive past age because she judged God faithful. Who has promised? Our God is faithful. Yeah. Anything, any day, anywhere, let the first words that come to your heart is God is faithful. Amen. And then we reorganize it and say, well, God, what do you want me to do? You're faithful. He's faithful. Like Pastor said, he wants us to live. Receive it. I will live. I will not die. I will live with long life. God will satisfy me. Just God faithful. When they are speaking promises, you just be looking and the things are passing by your head. No, receive in the name of Jesus. I'm an A-star-rated parent. Our children are A-star-rated. Claim it for yourself. You see, when Yemisi is making those declarations, me, I'm not praying with anybody. I'm claiming it for myself. Claiming it. Because it's beyond her. There's a mantle of the word of God going forth every day.
Don't despise the word. You know, don't take these things just for granted. So it's not just, you know, from the heart.
Amen. 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 Believe it.
Amen. One last thing, because mommy brought it up about Abraham and Sarah. They are a type of the end time. That is why it says, look to Abraham and Sarah, the rock from where you were hewn. In other words, what happened with Abraham and Sarah will happen to you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. Possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of living. With long life, will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, in the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us.